This is Sunday, August the 14th, and we are looking at our eighth lesson in this series of lessons entitled, Where is Your Church Going? And today's lesson is entitled, Truth Defenders. Now, I'm going to say this morning. There's a lot of people in our world today that don't like truth. Okay? I don't know if you've noticed that in the political world or not, but society today, many places, they do not like truth. But God's Word is built upon truth. God's Word is truth. And our Savior said there in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I want us to look at this lesson today. I've tried to put in all the Bible verses that I was using in this lesson. I know there's a lot there, but I wanted you to just have them this morning and go through the lesson with me today. Our scripture verse, theme verse, is found here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Man, what a statement of faith that is. And you know, I was looking up as I was studying for this lesson, I looked up the word truth. And that word in the Greek, Gus, you probably know this already, okay? You're a Greek there, but listen, that word is aletheia. And it basically means to hide nothing. That's what the word truth means, to hide nothing. It conveys that thought that it is truth is something available for all to see. And what that's what God has done for us. He has given us truth. He has made His truth not obscured, not hidden, but He's made it open and plain for all to see. This week at the Hampstead Carnival, they had the carnival there this week, and it was 100 and some odd, 108 people came to know Christ this week at the carnival. Now, they went there for fun and relaxation, but they learned truth. They learned truth. I think 47 Thursday. Amen. We sent a bunch of our folks out there Thursday night, and 47, I think he said, trusted Christ as their Savior in one night. And Brother Mike was telling me he got to lead one fellow to Christ, and he brought his brother or somebody back, and he got saved. All because of truth. Truth. And folks, that's what we've got to defend today. I don't have time to read it all here today, but I was looking at a fellow that gave an explanation of what truth is in our society today. And he basically was talking about how many people today want to use the fact that there are no absolutes. There is no absolute truth. But folks, I want to remind you today, God's Word is an absolute truth. It is absolute. There's no changing it. Man may deny it. Man may try to pervert it and change the words and take away and add to and anything else he wants to do. But folks, truth will never change. Webster defined that word truth as this. He said it is the body of real things, events, and facts. It is in all actuality. It is the state of being the case, a fact. A verity and a fundamental of inevitably true value. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember this in the book of John, chapter 17. And when he was praying, he prayed there for his disciples. And the Bible said there in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17, as he was praying, he said this to his Father. He said, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what he told them. That's what he said. And folks, listen today. You and I, as born again children of God, if we know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we need to understand the responsibility that God has placed upon us to present truth to those around us. I was talking to a man in Houston, Texas, this past week, and he was talking about truth. And he said, would you, as a pastor, would you be willing to tell your children the truth even if you knew it would hurt them? And I said, I have a responsibility to tell them truth. Because if I don't give them truth, then I will give account unto God for what happens with that truth. And folks, you and I have a responsibility today to give out the truth of the Word of God. Listen, truth is the difference between light and darkness. It is the difference between being able to see and not being able to see. And the Bible says that Satan wants to keep us and keep the world in the darkness of sin. He wants you to stumble around. He wants you to be confused and just all kinds of problems. But Christ came into this world to be the light of the world. And you and I, even as the moon does at night, when we can't see the sun on the other side of the earth, when the sun is coming up in China, okay, and the moon is shining in Westminster, that moon is reflecting the light of an unseen sun. Okay, that's what you and I, as born-again Christians, are to do. We are to reflect the light in this old dark world of sin. We are to reflect the light of the unseen Son of God. And we're to let everybody know what He has done. And I want you to understand, the true church of Jesus Christ, that born-again body of believers, we were purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We've got to be willing to show forth the truth, the responsibility that has been given unto us to declare God's truth, even in a world that simply refuses to accept it, refuses to hear it, refuses to want to do anything with it. It's still our responsibility. And that's why we have to be truth defenders today. We're to be truth defenders. Now, our scripture verse again said, and without controversy, that means without an argument, okay? There's no doubt about it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Man, that's a tremendous statement of faith. That sums up everything that we believe. These are the basic fundamentals of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want one verse that can sum it all up, right there it is, okay? Now let's look at this lesson just a minute, okay? I want you to understand, back in the book of Genesis, when God gave Adam truth, that truth was denied, first of all, by Satan, okay? Satan questioned the Word of God. He denied the Word of God. He called God a liar, and man fell into that temptation. Eve, she listened to it. She heard it. She looked at the fruit and thought, man, alive, it looks good. It smells good. It must be good. It's a food to make one wise, okay? Our eyes are going to be open to things we didn't know before. And Adam refused to do what he should have done. He should have slapped her hand and said, Mama, we're not eating this stuff. God said don't do it. We're not going to do it. But he didn't do it. And because of his willingness to disobey God, you and I today have been born with that sin nature. Every child, every little baby, every grandbaby, as cute as they may be, you know what? They've still been born with that sin nature. And they, just like you and me, they fall prey to things that are not truth. Now for some 6,000 years or plus, we've been dealing with the fact that Satan did us a bad deal, so to speak. And man fell prey to sin. And because of that, God was willing to give us truth. He showed us the truth that we're all sinners. He showed us the truth that we all owe a debt for that sin and that separation from God for all eternity in an awful place prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. That's what we deserve, folks. That's the truth. Now, when I heard that as a boy, as a young man, before I got saved, I didn't like that fact. I didn't like to be called a sinner, okay? But the fact was, the truth was, I was a sinner. But the truth did not stop there. The truth went on to say that in spite of my sin, God still loved me. Amen? He cared for my soul. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die for sinners like you and like me. And you know what? He offered unto us that gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation. And we had to make a choice, either to accept it or to reject it. And folks, I'm going to be the first one to tell you this morning, I am so glad that I chose to accept God's gift of salvation. Amen? Aren't you today? Aren't you glad you chose to accept that gift? Now, the Bible talks about here, never forget the fact that God has entrusted the local church and all the important ministries that we have here, all the things that we do. He has given us an all-important responsibility. And that responsibility is to protect the truth, is to stand firm against the attacks of the devil. When the devil tries to deceive people and he tries to cause them to think that, listen, God's truth, you don't have to listen to that. That's old fuddy-duddy stuff. You don't have to listen. You've got the right to make your own decisions. You know what? We do. We do have that right. But you need to make your decisions based upon truth and don't base it upon a lie. Now, I want us to look here, first of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Look at it with me today. I want you to see the church's duty. The church's duty. He said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." I think that verse needs to be read to a lot of people, don't you? Hey, listen, we need to remember it. We need to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. This is not a place that we come and have a hootenanny show, or I don't know if you know what a hootenanny show is or anything like that. I'm from the South, so what do you call it up here? A contemporary service, okay? Where you bring in the old rock and roll of this old world, and you look like the devil, and you act like the devil, you come in here talking like the devil, you leave here talking like the devil. That's not what it's supposed to be, folks. We come to the house of God to learn how we ought to live for God so that we can go out and make a difference in the world with the gospel, with the truth of the Word of God. And he said here, Timothy, he said, "I'm writing to you, and I'm hoping to be able to be there with you soon. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You see, Paul's desire for Timothy was to visit him. He wanted to be there with him in person. He knew he was about to die. Paul knew that. But he wanted to be there one last time to encourage his son in the faith, to strengthen him so that he would not give up when the hard times came. You know what? It's good to be here. During COVID, for what, 2 years, we met online, okay? And it was good to be able to watch the services and things like that. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed teaching my lesson. Precious, she would sit behind me in my chair in the office. And you know what? That little dog would not cry. She wouldn't bark. She wouldn't do anything while I was teaching that lesson. But as soon as I gave the invitation and hit that button on there, she'd jump out and run out in there and be barking at the squirrels or the deer or whatever. And you know, I enjoyed doing the lessons like that and uploading them and having them available to you. But man, I was longing for fellowship. Amen. I was longing for what we have today. Be able to be back in the house of God, one with another. That's what Paul was looking for. But he said, Timothy, if I can't be there, I want you to understand some things. I want you to understand your duty as the pastor there. I want you to understand your church's responsibility there and how that you need to be acting. Look what he said here. Number one, I want you to understand that it's the house of God that you're going into. Now listen, this is brick, mortar, steel, wood. It's a building, okay? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But God has given us this place to come and to worship Him, okay? To serve Him, to hear the Word of God being preached, to have our hearts stirred. And He's given us this place. The church, it's a house of God. But it's not just a physical building that we enter into and go out of when we worship the Lord and when we come together as a spiritual family. In actuality, the spiritual family of God is you and me. We are that body of Christ. We are that temple. We are that church. And listen, we are to know how we're supposed to act, okay? When we come in the house of God, and as Christians, we're supposed to know how to act once we leave the building of God. Okay? We don't do the things that we used to do before we got saved. Why? Because we've been adopted into the family of God. We've been made one. When I got married, okay, I wasn't going to go out here and call up anybody else and try to get a date with somebody. That would be hazardous to my health, okay? That would be very hazardous to my health. Listen, I was married to one now. And I belonged to her. She belonged to me. We belonged to each other. And we were made one in that marriage. And you know what? That's the same relationship we have with Christ. We belong to Him. We don't belong to the world anymore. We don't need to be going out here and dating around with the things of this old world and acting like the world and doing the things of the world. We're to be lights in the darkness of this old world. We're to be different. And that's why God said this through Brother Paul. He said also, number two, it's the church of the living God. Let me remind you something. We serve a living God. Amen. He hears. He answers prayer. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives today. He's alive and well. And listen, if you've not talked to Him and spent time with Him, you don't know what you're missing today. He's a living God. Look at this, number three. He's defined as the pillar of truth. The church is the pillar of truth. A pillar, okay, that's not what you sleep on, okay? All right, that's a pillow, okay? Not a pillar, okay? A pillar is defined as a firm, upright support for a superstructure. Wow. You are a firm, upright support, okay, for a superstructure. And listen to what he said. A fundamental precept. An anchor and a buttress that provides strong support and stability. Man, that's what a pillar of truth truly is. The psalmist David said this in Psalm 18, verse 2. I love this. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Amen. That defines it pretty good. But then number four, he said this, it's the truth, or it's the ground of all truth. The people of God are to behave themselves in such a godly manner as to provide the very foundation and source of truth when people are looking for answers. Now, folks, today, listen to me. People are looking for answers today. Our world is searching for something that's real. Listen, our political world says, you vote me in and I'll deceive you all the way. And man, we put them in there, don't we? Listen, you can't trust some of these folks. And you know what? It's not because they're a Republican or a Democrat. It's because they don't know Jesus as their Savior. The problem is they need to come to know Christ as their Savior. We need less politicians and we need more statesmen to stand up for truth and for righteousness. And we're not seeing that today. But listen to me today. The church is the ground of all truth. Every body of believers, this whole body of believers needs to stand for something that's real. Folks, Thursday night, folks all this week, they've had nights all this week that have been out there at the carnival. We've had folks going out on visitation. We've had folks going out on bus routes. We've had folks going everywhere in the city telling folks about Christ. That is the pillar of truth that folks need to hear about today. And it is the ground of truth. And folks, we're able to see the church's duty in those four areas of living within the body of Christ. The house of God, okay? The church of the living God, the foundational source and the pillar, the ground of God's truth. But I want you to look now at number B, the church's doctrine. The doctrine is what we believe. Now, I remember when I was being ordained, I had to give a statement of faith and what I believe. Now, I've got it typed up in here. It's still in my office in there. It's in a big notebook like that. I think it's 114 pages or something like that. I can't remember. And I tried to spell out everything I could think of that would tell folks, listen, this is what I believe because this is what the Bible says. But our church's doctrine ought to be something that's personal to each of us. When you go on our church website and you look under the About page and it says what we believe, let me ask you, you look at all the statement of faith that our church believes. Is that what you believe? Is that what you believe today? Listen, every one of us ought to have a personal statement of faith that defines what we believe is true. What we believe has changed our life. And look what Paul said here. He said, and without controversy. In other words, without a doubt, with no debate, here are the facts. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great, in other words, is the unveiling of God's divine plan for sinful mankind. Man, God explains it here, what it's all about. And he gives the gospel. It was once hidden to men's eyes. Men did not understand it. Old Testament prophets longed to see what was going to come to pass. And they didn't see those things. But you know what? We know. How did it all happen? Look what he said. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Back in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, pastors preached on this in Wednesday night Bible study. But Abraham told Isaac, when Abraham looked at Isaac, and Isaac had asked, Father, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, he said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. God came into this world in the form of man. God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the Bible talks about. The Word of God, John said, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Folks, we know that Christ was made manifest in the flesh. But number two, he said he was justified in the Spirit. That means that Jesus was justified. He was shown to be, he was proven to be God in the flesh by the very Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Before his birth, the Bible said in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 37. The Bible tells us there how that Gabriel came before Mary, and this is what he said. He said, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing is impossible." Folks, listen to me today. He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. Number three, he was seen of angels. I go back to the Christmas story once again. And the angels there proclaimed to the shepherds on the hillside. Luke chapter 2. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That means they screamed like little girls, all right? They were scared. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Listen to me, folks. The angels declared him to be the Son of God. When Jesus was tempted of Satan in the wilderness, you know what happened? Jesus used the Word of God to defeat Satan. That's how you and I defeat him today. And then the Bible said, there appeared unto him angels that ministered unto him. They ministered unto him, proclaiming him to be the very Son of God. And then, fourthly, he was preached unto the Gentiles. You know what? That's you and that's me. When John sent those disciples to Jesus to find out if he really was the Son of God or not, I don't believe it was John questioning it. I believe it was those men questioning the fact that John was in prison. John was being just persecuted terribly for his belief in Christ. But it was John who said, "I must decrease and he must increase." So when these men were wondering, well, who do we follow? What do we do? John sent them to Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, "You go back and you tell Brother John what you've seen. How the blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Listen, poor old Gentile dogs we are still considered to be in the Jews' eyes today. But the gospel was preached unto us. Man, what a blessing it is to have the gospel. He was believed on in the world. What did John write? The Bible said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And then the sixth thing he said here, that he was raised up into glory. He was raised up in the glory. Jesus told the disciples there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "But ye shall receive power from the Holy Ghost. And after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Why was that done? Because Jesus was about to leave them. He gave them the responsibility to pass the truth on. And when Jesus rose up, the Bible said here, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Listen, one day he's coming back, folks. Right now, he has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is there making intercession for you and for me today. And he has been received up into glory. These are the fundamental truths of our faith today. And it's important that we take these things. The church, the pastors, the deacons, every born-again child of God in that local church family ought to know and proclaim these fundamentals of the faith. But why do we do that? Well, look at what he said in verses 1 through 5 in chapter 4, 1 Timothy. Look what he said. He said, because the truth is being attacked. There is a threat today, folks. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what's called apostasy, folks. Apostasy, the departing from the faith by those who used to so openly proclaim it. Boy, are we not seeing that today? We're seeing that in the spiritual world. We're seeing that in the social world. We're seeing that in commitment. Nobody is wanting to proclaim truth and faith today. Tomorrow, I have a funeral to perform. And I want you to pray for Brother Richard and Ms. Nancy Cousins. Their daughter passed away Thursday night. And she was 54 years old. I'm doing the funeral. I'm meeting with the family tomorrow and then doing the funeral on Tuesday. But you know what? I have the responsibility to give to them the truth, the hope, the joy of being able to know Christ as one Savior. And listen, that truth today is being attacked. It is being threatened by the world today. And Timothy was warned here of how that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. They're going to depart. That foreseen and foretold departing from the faith, it deals with those who at one time seemed to be on fire for God. Those who so boldly, supposedly proclaimed the message of the truth, but now they've gotten away from the truth and they don't want to be associated with it anymore. I saw a man that gave an article. I was reading on the internet. He said he used to be a Christian, but now he was an atheist. And he was proclaiming his doctrine and his hatred toward God. And I thought, wait a minute, are you a dummy? I mean, yeah, you are, but how can you hate somebody that doesn't exist? If he doesn't exist, how can you hate him? You know, that's like me saying, I hate Klingons, okay, off of Star Trek, okay? There is no such thing, okay? I don't hate them. I think they're ugly, but I don't hate them, okay? But listen to me today. Folks want to take the truth and attack it in every form and fashion. You and I have to stand true today because many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Listen to me. You've got to endure today. Stand up for the truth today. Stand up, defend it, because the threats are real. I want you to see also that truth is attacked not through just threats, but there is a theme. Look at what verses 1 through 5 say. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That means you can eat pork chops and bacon and everything else and give God thanks for it and enjoy your meal. Amen. Good old sausage biscuit with Texas Pete and mustard on it. Man, good night. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, how will the world's theme of threats and things be revealed? Look at it. It's through satanic teachings. They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, even as did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They gave heed to the devil. They accepted the lies of Satan instead of standing for the truth of God. And look where it got us today. Folks are dying and going to hell because they receive the seduction, the doctrines of devils, and they believe a lie instead of the truth. But also, not only from satanic teaching, but from hypocritical teaching. They speak lies in hypocrisy. And then their consciences are seared as with a hot iron. That means that when they have rejected truth for so long, they are no longer sensitive to the truth or of the knowledge of truth. And then it's through other religious asceticism. Now, that's a big fancy word, but it just simply means a severe self-discipline. Oh, I can't get married. I'm a pope, or I'm a priest, or I'm a this or a that. I can't eat fish on Fridays. Man, I can eat fish all week. It doesn't matter to me. Listen to me. They're staying away from getting married. They're saying you can't do this. You got to be a vegetarian and all these. Don't eat meats. I saw an article one time where a woman put in there, she said, don't go out and hunt these poor innocent deer and kill these things. Go to the grocery store where you can buy it and it's already packaged. And I'm thinking, what? Are you just crazy? What are you thinking about? It all comes from the same source. Listen to me. They are dealing with falsehood. They're trying to make things people believe a lie. And you see, as a truth defender, you and I have got to preserve the truth and not only stand for it, but we've got to warn others of the devil's intent. And what is the devil's intent? It is to deceive, to destroy, and to kill. That's what the devil wants to do. And folks, we can't allow that to happen. So what do we do? How do we become teachers of the truth? Two ways. Number one, through good ministers. You need to be a good minister of the faith and the truth. But the pastor, those of us on pastoral staff, we need to defend, we need to be good ministers of the faith. And look what he said. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And the only way that a man can be a good minister, the only way that you and I can be good ministers of the faith through Jesus Christ is to have good doctrine. Look what he said. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Thank God for men of God who will not only be faithful to proclaim the truth, but they'll defend the truth and they'll live it personally in their lives. And folks, that is what God's looking for in your life and in mine today. God wants us to stand true. Be a truth defender and do what's right. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know the lesson has been a little long this morning, but my goodness, Lord, what a great lesson it is on learning to defend truth. And Lord, I pray that today you'll take this lesson. Help it, God, to be an instrument of encouragement and strength to those who need it most. I pray, God, if there be one in this class today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that when the pastor gives the invitation today, Lord, they'll be willing to come and accept you as their own personal Savior and know the truth of salvation that's been given to all men, women, boys, and girls. Bless us now, Lord, in this week. Lord, help us to stand for truth, to defend it, to protect it, and most of all, to proclaim it everywhere that we go. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming to class today. We love you. Thank you for being here.